brought to you by Oklahoma Men's Clinic, the leader in men's health and sexual wellness.
Hi, this is Greg with your Oklahoma Men's Clinic. If you struggle when you snuggle, don't delay. Call us today, 405-266-3000. That's 266-3000. Or schedule your free phone consultation on the web at okcmen.com. That's okcmen.com.
Rick and Brad Radio.
Showbiz News Time brought to you by Michener Farron Jewelers.
You modified your freeborn created diamond blaster?
Producing the most brilliant diamonds electricity can create.
Only at Michener Farron Jewelers, Oklahoma's greatest diamond store.
So Britney Spears' lawyer, Matthew Rosengart, fired off a cease and desist letter to Jamie Lynn Spears on Monday. Rosengart was blunt, demanding, quote, "You cease and desist from referencing Britney derogatorily during your promotional campaign. If you fail to do so or defame her, Britney will be forced to consider and take all appropriate legal action." He said, "We write with hesitation because the last thing Britney wants is to bring more attention to your ill-timed book and its misleading or outrageous claims about her. She has not read and does not intend to read your book. She and millions of fans were shocked to see how you have exploited her for monetary gain. She will not tolerate it, nor should she."
You can't tell somebody, hey, you can't talk about this other person unless you've got something you can take away from them. Now, if she defames her, what would be, and by the way, that's even tougher for Britney Spears because she is a public figure. But if she defamed her, that'd be one thing. They could bring suit for that. But you don't just fire off a cease and desist to somebody that slagged you on Twitter.
Then he says, "You of all people know the abuse and wrongdoing Britney had to endure during the conservatorship after initially growing up with a ruinous alcoholic father." He points out that Jamie echoed the same sentiment in her book. Then he goes after Jamie Lynn, saying Britney was the family's breadwinner and she otherwise supported you. Publicly airing false or fantastical grievances is wrong, especially when designed to sell books. It is also potentially unlawful and defamatory. This comes after Britney responded to a couple of things yesterday. One was Jamie Lynn did a podcast interview where she started crying on the podcast, and Britney called her out and was like, "I never got to cry when I grew up. Like, I was the strong one. You rode my coattails," sort of thing. She also wrote another post after Jamie Lynn did an interview where she talked about how hard the Justin Timberlake split was for Britney. And she said that she came home right after she and Justin broke up, and Jamie Lynn sitting there eating a chocolate milkshake, watching the TV for hours, then gets to go lay out at the pool. She notes that she's 12 years old back then, and she heard that Jamie Lynn had a new Nickelodeon show, and Britney says, "All I remember saying was, damn, how the hell does a 12-year-old land a Nickelodeon show?" So basically accusing her of getting all of her opportunities through
this nonsense has got to stop.
It's
Britney basically paid a lawyer a bunch of money to write a letter saying, "Bitch, take my name out of your mouth."
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, Britney's lawyer, Matthew Rosengart, filed legal documents claiming that Jamie Spears, the father, engaged in self-dealing financial and business mismanagement, engaged in abusive and bullying conduct toward his daughter, and deprived his daughter of fundamental civil liberties. And that's just for starters. He claims that Jamie got $6 million over the 13-plus years of the conservatorship. The legal documents go on to claim that Jamie had engaged in, quote, chronic alcohol abuse, impairing his ability to serve faithfully. He also claims that some of the $6 million was used by Jamie to pitch a show called Cookin', Cruisin', and Chaos. The documents also claim to sell the show, Jamie converted one of the tour buses, Britney's tour buses, into a food truck. He also says that in addition to Jamie's $6 million, millions and millions more were spent on lawyers to keep the conservatorship going. He says that the legal fees amounted to more than $30 million. So with what Jamie made, that would bring the total to $36 million. Jamie has said that all of the money he made during the conservatorship was court approved. The hearing is a petition by Jamie for more attorney's fees, and Matthew Rosengart's filing is in opposition to that. The hearing is set for 1:30 today. So we should expect some development after that hearing today.
One more time. What's the name of that show? Cooking, Cruising, and what?
Chaos.
Chaos. There you go. I mean, if that's
doesn't that sound like something you guys would watch?
If that's not made for Spike TV or CMT, I don't know what would be.
It's knockoff. What's the Guy Fieri show?
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Drives?
That's
Drive-Ins
what it reminded me of, yeah.
It is really crazy to me that her dad has the gall to go ask for more attorneys.
I totally agree with that. And by the way, the that's what the lawyer should be doing. Is that stuff that has some relevance?
Yeah, I think the other one was maybe just to appease Brittany. To you know, she hasn't really had real representation and been able to ask her lawyers to do certain things for her that they would
understood,
actually do.
Understood, but the lawyer should have an obligation to tell her, look,
he may have.
I can write a letter, but it's not going to mean anything. She's not doing anything illegal. She's not doing anything that you've got any sort of recourse for.
I would have a feeling that this guy is so credentialed. I'm sure he did tell her
then
wound up doing it to make her happy. Okay, we have an update on the story yesterday from the Manning cast, where Dwayne The Rock Johnson had a dinosaur skull in his house that he said was named Stan, and was we found out that it was sold to an anonymous buyer for $31 million. Well, The Rock took to social media and said, that's actually not the real thing. Mine is a replica.
I told you.
He said the original Stan was found in 1987. He said that his is a replica. He said, if I was the proud owner of the real Stan, I sure as hell wouldn't keep him in my office. I would keep him in a museum so the world could enjoy, study, and learn from him.
And also not have my kids smearing popsicles on him.
Yeah, it's not a coat hanger.
I mean, not to give it up to myself too much, but I pointed out that nothing that he said took ownership of that being the actual skull. He was just given the facts behind the existence of the skull. And he never said that's the $31 million one. $12,000, though, is still stupid T-Rex skull money.
That is stupid money.
Very stupid.
But, I mean, listen, you are in this. You do what you want to do with it, Rock.
Sure, a lot better than 31 mil.
Absolutely.
That would be way weirder if he had that in his house and it wasn't, like you said, Ryan, in some sort of glass case. At a minimum, a museum is probably where it needs to be. But somebody has it in their house.
That's what I was just going to say. Is the thing is that there is somebody somewhere that's got a $31 million T-Rex skull somewhere.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage?
Maybe.
It's possible. Maybe. One of these billionaires out here.
Sidney Poitier died from a combination of heart failure, Alzheimer's, dementia, and prostate cancer, according to his death certificate. He 94 years old, died at home in Beverly Hills. The certificate lists his occupation as an actor with an astonishing 76 years of experience in the field.
Let me just say one more time for the record that at 94, you shouldn't have to suffer through all of that stuff. You ought to be able to just go out. Like, I mean, even Betty White didn't, you know, she had a stroke, according to the reports. And then 6 days later, 2 weeks later, whatever it was, she passes away. But at 94, you ought to be able to go out like Bob Saget and just go to sleep one night and you don't wake up the next day. You shouldn't have to go through dementia and prostate cancer and whatever the other thing was.
Heart failure.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's awful.
Hey, speaking of, did you see Louis Anderson?
That's what I was just getting ready to say.
What a sad deal.
Very sad. He's in a Las Vegas hospital battling cancer. His rep says that he has diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, and he is resting comfortably. He appeared in the 1988 comedy Coming to America, as well as last year's sequel. He also hosted Family Feud from 1999
Baskets.
To 2002, and then played Zach Galifianakis' mother on the FX show Baskets. He has the same kind of cancer as Mark Hoppus from Blink 182. And after 6 months of treatment, Mark Hoppus announced that he was cancer-free back in September. So let's
it's some
hope.
Kind of blood cancer, right?
Yeah, I get. Well, I just say yeah. I have no idea.
Well, that's what I read last night. The headline was Louis Anderson in the hospital with a rare form of blood cancer, and then they explained whatever the name of it
was. That's what the story that Rolling Stone had a little while ago.
That may be where I read it, too.
Gosh, I hope he is able to recover.
Yeah, I do,
just
too.
Just like Mark
Hoppus. We've had Louis on numerous times. Mm-hmm. Really a sweet guy. And kind of like, I think we had him on after he was playing Zach's mom on Baskets, and he's like pretty nonchalant about it. The brilliance of that is like it's never even a thing. It's never referred to. It's never and I don't think I watched the last season of it, but it's like there's never it's just Louis Anderson is playing the character of his mom.
That is hilarious. I never did watch Baskets.
Oh yeah, I think you'd like it. You know what I'm watching right now that I never watched? I've got this black hole. Because I was so consumed with news over the last few years, this black hole of shows that I never watched. I've been watching
Yellow Jackets.
I've been watching Master of None. Did you watch that?
Yeah, I watched the first season of it.
I watched
it's
all of
really
it.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah. I liked the first one.
Yeah, the first season was really good. The second season was good, but it just took place in a different setting, and it was a little weird in that way. But it was still a good show.
It's just a nice show.
Yeah. It's an easy watch.
It's an easy watch. Everything about it is kind of sweet and engaging, and the friendships and the.
It's not heavy at all.
Not heavy at all, but it's got a really good message to it. I really am enjoying it.
Have you just watched season one?
I'm halfway or two-thirds of the way through season two right now.
I figured out lately that's kind of what I need in TV shows.
Me
here
too.
Recently is like I can't do any more heavy stuff. And like we sit there and try to choose things to watch at night, and we just started Yellow Jackets, and I didn't know the setup really to Yellow Jackets. So I was like, cool, we're going to watch these like high school
watch,
teams.
Right?
And I was like, what is happening? Like this is not at all what I expected it to be. It's good.
It's crazy.
It's
not
heavy.
Depressing, though, Brad. It's not heavy.
No,
I mean,
no.
It's
I'm
heavy,
gonna watch.
But it's not heavy.
I'm gonna watch Yellow Jackets. As a matter of fact, I signed up for my 30-day free trial of Showtime,
burn,
so I can burn through it.
Yeah.
I rewatched Breaking Bad. A couple weeks ago.
I don't know if I could grind through a show much as I love.
I didn't
Lost,
think I could either. I didn't like the idea because it was Gideon's idea, and then it was like one of those deals where I'm walking through the living room and then I'm watching it, and then I'm sitting on the couch.
We did,
and
the same
then
thing
I wound
recently.
Up finishing it, and now I'm doing Californication again.
I don't know why you won't watch The Sopranos. I think that
I do want to. Gideon watched The Sopranos, and so he's not as and he thinks it's going to be a grind to watch it. I'm going to at some point.
Well, I just would
like
say
you
if you want a light show to watch that's not heavy, that's not challenging on any level, but is very enjoyable and actually does have a good message. Like you could tell they're doing episodes based on stories that have some meaning behind them. Yeah. I've really liked Master of None. And like I said, it was just in this black hole of shows that I didn't watch because I was so consumed with other stuff at the time. And I really am liking it.
Yeah, I need to watch. I think I got halfway through season two. So I need to finish that.
30-minute episodes.
Is there a season three now?
Yeah, but it was a shorter season. It was like 5 episodes or 4 episodes or something.
Okay, gotcha.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
So the 64th annual Grammy Awards were postponed earlier this month amid the Omicron surge from its original air date of January 31st. It was scheduled to take place at the Crypto.com Arena, formerly known as the Staples Center. Now it has a new date that was announced yesterday. It will be broadcast live from MGM Grand Garden Arena in Vegas on Sunday, April 3rd from 8 to 11:30 p.m. on CBS. It will will also be available to stream live and on demand on Paramount Plus. Trevor Noah is still set to return as the host. And additional details about the dates and locations of other Grammy events will be announced soon. That came via a joint announcement from the Recording Academy yesterday. So April 3rd.
Okay.
That's late in
the
year.
Set my calendar now.
Yes, I know. Yeah,
but I mean, does it really matter? I mean, all of these shows could move to the summer and have them outside and it wouldn't end the world. You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's not like they're moving the Super Bowl. Which, frankly, right. They could probably move the Super Bowl and it wouldn't be the end of the world. The difference would be that you're playing it at the end of a season and you'd have this gap. So that I could see where that one wouldn't work. But it's not like any of this stuff is life and death that you move it 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It looks
I
like
totally
to me
agree.
Saturday Night Live, I don't know if what you read about it went into any detail about this, but it looks to me like Saturday Night Live is kind of jiggering their schedule so that they're not like they're not on back-to-back weeks this time. They're taking this week off, and then they're back with a new episode next week. And I noticed in the broadcast this week that they didn't promote the next live show. Did you notice that?
Oh, I thought there was a – I thought Will Forte's hosting this weekend.
Oh, is he?
I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's my bad then. I didn't realize they had announced a show. And when that announcement came yesterday, the story that I read had no reference to a show this weekend. Okay. Well, then I'm completely wrong about that.
Yeah. So Will Forte's hosting this weekend. I don't know how to pronounce. I don't know who. Maneskin as a musical guest. And then January 29th, Willem Dafoe will host SNL for his first time.
I was surprised
ever.
To see that Willem Dafoe has never hosted Saturday Night Live before. You would have thought when he was so big when Platoon came out in the late 80s, he had a couple of things that were big in the late 80s, or when he was in the first Spider-Man movie, you would have thought maybe he would have hosted, and that he's never hosted before really surprised me.
Yeah, he's this is his first time. Katy Perry will be the musical guest. Man, did you see her music video that was on the college football national championship halftime show?
I did not.
They just played a music video. It was just so bad.
It was almost,
and it was like an ad, right, for like LG or something.
Yeah, it was an ad for somebody, but it was almost how they used to just premiere a video on MTV is what it reminded me of. Like they went to commercial break, or what seemed like commercial break, and this music video just played, and it was really awkward. The video was not good. The song wasn't that good. It was just bad.
I don't
but
know.
I felt like they were like, coming up at halftime, Katy Perry featuring whoever was in that video with her, but it kind of made it sound like she was going to perform live, and then they wound up just playing this music video.
I'm not a fan. I would not, even if I had known, I wouldn't have gone out of my way to watch it, but I don't remember ever hearing that there was going to be anything like
she
that.
She had her assets on full display.
But that would
part.
Be the only reason I would have any interest in it.
There you go. CBS is canceling the legal drama Bull after 6 seasons. Michael Weatherly tweeted yesterday that it's been my privilege to play Dr. Jason Bull, but after 6 seasons of incredible storylines, it's time to pursue new creative challenges.
That seems like a show your parents would watch.
I don't think they do, actually, which is surprising to me. Bull is basically based loosely on the work of Dr. Phil.
Yeah,
he's
back
an executive producer.
When he was a
jury
consultant. Expert, yeah, like an expert witness jury consultant. If you remember, Dr. Phil came to prominence because Oprah got sued by the Beef Producers Association. I remember if it was just in Texas or a national organization, but she got sued in Texas.
Texas, yeah.
And they went to court, and she hired him as a consultant to help pick the jury, and like basically fell in love with him, thought that he was perfect to be on TV with his folksy stylings, and she was right, obviously. And so he started being on her show. It was such a hit that she decided to produce a show with him in it, and then he winds up being the Dr. Phil that we know now.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I
crazy.
Didn't even know that.
Daniel Radcliffe has been cast as the lead in Weird Al's upcoming biopic.
I think it's
never would have picked
awesome.
That.
I think it's going to be cool.
The film's description says that the biopic holds nothing back, exploring every facet of Weird Al's life, from his rise to fame with early hits like Eat It and Like a Surgeon, to his torrid celebrity love affairs and famously depraved lifestyle.
So it sounds to me like it's going to be like one of those Chuck Barris kind of deals where it's a fabricated biopic.
Oh, a little exaggerated and over the
top. Not just exaggerated, completely made up. The guy's been married since he was like 22 or something. Okay. They may be divorced now, but he was married most of his success. And
yeah.
He's been in here. He's the most mild-mannered, nice guy.
He's not Andy Dick.
No, not at all.
To that just described.
And by the way, I don't say that to say that I don't think this could be really interesting, especially if they sort of do it as a goof.
Yeah.
But he's just, out of everybody that we've met and dealt with, he's maybe the most normal, like, so easy to deal with out of anybody.
Yeah, I think it could be funny. Chelsea Handler is also set to star in a brand new comedy series based on her memoir, Life Will Be the Death of Me. The project has landed at Peacock, which is NBC's streaming service. Chelsea will star in the show as well as executive produce it. It will center on Chelsea in crisis. She goes into therapy to become a nicer and less entitled person, and mayhem and calamity ensue as she overcorrects, stumbles, regresses, and loses her marbles on her journey to self-improvement.
If part of the pitch is mayhem and insanity ensue, or whatever you said, mayhem.
Not
and,
good.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to be on the fence
not so sure about
a while
that
about that.
And I'd have to subscribe to Peacock again.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Bono recently did an interview where he talked about how he's not a fan of his own voice on U2's early music because it sounds strained. He says that he only recently became a decent singer, and he also doesn't like U2's name.
It was the one we chose, and we didn't really love it at first.
I still don't.
But we kind of decided to live with it.
Yeah, I really don't. But I was late into some kind of dyslexia. I didn't realize that the Beatles was a bad pun either. We thought the implication of the letter and the number in our head, it was like the spy plane. It was a, you know, U-boat. It was futuristic. But then as it turned out to imply this kind of acquiescence, no, I don't like that name. I still don't really like the name. The band sound incredible. I just found the voice very strained and kind of not macho. And my Irish macho was kind of strained by that. But I only became a singer, it was like recently. Maybe it hasn't happened yet for some people's ears. And I understand that.
I mean, listen, I get it.
Interesting.
I'm proud of the fact that the dude can be okay with the stuff that he's done fairly recently. Because the last thing I want to hear is myself.
Yeah, I can't even listen to like our best of.
No, I'm not listening to that.
I don't want to hear myself. I thought I'd throw this story in last because I know how invested you are in the Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox engagement. But in an interview with Vogue, MGK, as we like to call him, said that he put a lot of detail into the design of Megan Fox's engagement ring, including thorns on the bands. He said the bands are actually thorns, so if she tries to take it off, it hurts. Love is pain. Okay. He also said it represented two halves of the same soul forming the obscure heart that is our love.
I saw a
meme. Isn't that sweet?
Over the weekend that perfectly sums up my feeling of these two, and it's that I don't care about either one of them at all. I never have, but somehow I'm forced to know everything about them.
One thing I remember saying at Lauren's wedding when I officiated was that I had these two friends, and the fact that these two friends got together and I liked both of them so much was like this great thing for me, because all of a sudden I got this super friend.
Yeah, that was sweet.
This is the
opposite.
You didn't
say two halves of the same soul.
No, I did not say that.
The obscure heart that is our love.
But here's the thing. I don't care about either one of these two, so the two of them getting together, I super don't care about.
Yeah, I agree. I just thought I'd throw that in there just for you.
Yeah.
So that is it for Showbiz News
today. Thanks, Chronic.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.